Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Morning Worship, a broadcast of parts of the worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts, as it was recorded last Sunday morning and brought to you today to the glory of God. The message this morning is from our senior pastor, Reverend David Riley, and is titled, If You Know Me. It's based on the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Visitors are always welcome to join us here at 60 Broad Street each Sunday at 10 a.m. And now, your friends at St. John's invite you to stay tuned as we worship our great and loving God.
I invite you to stand and to face the cross at the back of the sanctuary for our processional hymn, Christ is our cornerstone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. The first reading is from Acts chapter 6 and 7. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out among you 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, Philip, and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. There they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, or the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the Righteous One, who you have betrayed and murdered, and who has received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged and ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at his feet, the feet of the young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2. Like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it they may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in the Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am the Father, and that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
If you believe, O Christ.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. You do not have to ask members of your own family every day, "Do you know me?" Normally, we believe, and with good reason, that we know each other quite well. Yet the question still comes up from time to time, even in strong, close-knit families. Well, let us put this morning's Holy Gospel text from the Apostle John into proper context. It is the evening of Holy Thursday. Jesus has just told them that he was about to be glorified in the suffering, death, and resurrection. He added that the disciples would not be able to go where he was going, namely his suffering and death. He is preparing them for what is to come. Previously, they had always enjoyed his constant physical presence, but that was now coming to an end. He tells them not to be shaken, but to love one another as he had loved them. And then Peter asked, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus answered that they could not follow at this time, but they would do so later. Peter promised to follow, but we see that it was a foolish promise to make. And then Jesus predicted Peter's denial. The disciples knew it well, but on this occasion, they did not know that they knew it. The words spoken by our Savior, "Let not your hearts be troubled," come after matters that are very serious and stressful for the disciples. The washing of their feet by Jesus, the announcement of his betrayal by one of them, and the news of his imminent departure from them, and also the prediction of Peter's denial. The words spoken by our Savior, Jesus, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." The questions and the observations made by Peter, Thomas, Philip, and later by Judas, but not Iscariot, seem so ridiculous to us. Yet in moments of great sorrow and stress, we all ask the same questions. We all make the same type of rash promises. And we all desperately need the comfort of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The innermost being of the disciples was troubled, more than they really knew, as it would become evident in the Garden of Gethsemane later on. Therefore, Jesus begins in the opening verse of John, chapter 14, by saying, "Let not your innermost being be troubled." Then he gives the cure. Jesus strongly urges his disciples not to think of God apart from this man who is the divine Son of God. And at the same time, Jesus is saying that he is very God, a very God. Belief and trust in this man, Jesus, is belief and trust in God. That is the cure for all of our worries and all of our troubles. For a time, Martin Luther was walking around in very gloomy spirits. His wife, Katie, tried on many occasions to cheer him up, but to no avail. Finally, she decided to put on a widow's mourning clothes and went around the house in deepest grief and sorrow. When Luther noticed, he asked her, "Who's dead?" And Katie replied, "Well, God is dead." "Don't talk such foolishness," Luther said. "Well, my good doctor," answered Katie, "the way you have been acting lately, I thought God was dead. So I put on my mourning gowns." Luther understood Katie's point and changed his depressed and negative attitude. He began to trust and believe in God once again. The disciples thought that the Lord was talking about the way that he was planning to take, whereas Jesus was actually referring to the way that the disciples must take in order to reach their destination. Thomas was trying to understand the significance of Jesus' suffering and death. Because he could not do that, he was totally confused about the way to heaven. But Jesus does not rebuke Thomas for his words. Our Lord's response indicates his desire to comfort and to assure Thomas. Far from not knowing, Thomas and the rest of the disciples do know the way, and they do know the place to which Jesus was going. He is comforting his disciples with what they had previously learned and experienced. Their lessons, their knowledge, and their experiences of the past 3 years were now to be applied through belief and trust in their Savior. Then Jesus speaks one of the great I Am verses of Holy Scripture. As to the question concerning the way, he answers, "I am the way." Jesus does not say, "I will show you the way," like the prophet Moses did. As to the question concerning knowledge, he answers, "I am the truth." Jesus does not say, "I will have the truth," as the prophet Elijah did. To the question of what, he answers, "I am the life." Jesus does not say, "I will lead you to the life," like one of his disciples would. Truth and life are literal. Take away Jesus, and there is no way to the Father. Take away Jesus, and there is no saving truth. Take away Jesus, and there is no everlasting life. The disciples were then to ask themselves whether they had known Jesus. Of course they have. The disciples had seen his works over the last 3 years. The disciples had heard his words for the last 3 years. He now comforts his disciples with the profound mystery of what these things meant, his oneness with the Father. Having known him, they know the Father as well. Connection by faith with the Son means connection with the Father as well. Knowledge of Jesus leads to knowledge of the Father. The word "know" in our gospel text means to know with approval from an outside source. Jesus revealed the Father by revealing himself. If to know Jesus is to know His Father, then Jesus is divine. Look for God nowhere else than in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus continues, "And from henceforth you know Him, the Father, and have known Him." Jesus looks backwards and forwards. Knowledge of God in Christ is a changeless thing. In God's spiritual family, we Christians know the voice of Jesus, and we follow Him. Through the water and word of baptism, we are one with the Savior and our Father. But just as in the human family, the question may still be asked. In sincere compassion and concern, and by the divine authority of who He is, Jesus Christ may ask us, "Do you know Me?" We too can ask the questions of ourselves. Do I know Him? We say that not to put our Lord to the test, but to examine ourselves and to hear the answers that Jesus Christ gives us in His inspired Word. Do I know Him? My troubled heart and mind, like those of the frightened disciples, say, "No." In our old sinful nature, we were ignorant and totally without any direction or guidance. We were blind to the saving spiritual truth. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. We were poor, miserable sinners. Knowing this about ourselves rules out all of our deeds, all of our worthiness, and all of our best efforts. We cannot approach the Father except through Jesus Christ. It is a matter of faith, not of reason. It is a matter of what Jesus Christ has done and is doing, not what a person can do on their own. Jesus Christ is everything. If you want to know whether or not you are one of God's redeemed people, then I encourage you to read John 14, verse 6 again. If you believe this verse, then be assured that you are saved because of God's amazing grace and abundant mercy found in Christ Jesus. If, however, you believe that you can come to the Father by your own best efforts or personal worthiness, then I must say you do not have the assurance of being saved. Jesus Christ states emphatically, "Apart from Me, you can do nothing. Apart from Him, I have no knowledge of God. In fact, I am spiritually blind. I experience only darkness, and I only look forward to eternal death. But thanks be to God, I do know Him. It is a gift given to me from Him by the power of His Holy Spirit. Based on His suffering and dying on the cross, Jesus, true God and true man, one with the Father, took away all my sins. He has become, for me and for the whole world, the way, the truth, and the life. Through His Word, spoken into my ears and into my heart, Jesus gives me faith in Him and in my Father. With and through the gift of faith in Jesus Christ, what else do I have? I have true knowledge of God. Jesus says, "And from henceforth you know Him, the Father, and have known Him." Jesus looks backwards and forwards. Knowledge of God in Christ is truly a changeless thing. I have the forgiveness of sins through word and sacrament. I have the gift and promise of eternal life with Him in His Father's house. I have the ability to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I have the capacity and the desire to work for Him and with Him. Dear friends in Christ, this morning I leave you with a series of questions to ponder. If you know Jesus, do you know His comfort? If you know Jesus, do you know Him as your Lord and God? If you know Jesus, do you know Him as the one who empowers you to service? By the power of the Holy Spirit, I can assure you that we are all His chosen disciples. Assured of that also in His Word, we have reason every day for celebration and for thankful prayers to the Father. As the Apostle Paul says to the Philippians, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For my sake, for His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes from faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, so that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
We remain standing for our recessional hymn.
You've been listening to a broadcast of the worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. If you wish to contact us or would like to learn more about the Christian faith, please call 413-568-1417 or visit us at stjohnswestfield.org. God's blessings to you.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. Go in Easter peace and joy. Amen.